welcome to the Pig and Whistle Tales from Azeroth. As always here at the Pig and Whistle in Instalment, I go through a variety of subjects with regards to World of Warcraft. So grab a bottle or a pipe, sit back and enjoy. And today is a very special episode because BlizzCon has just gone, and it's a once a year thing. We're going to be covering everything to do with World of Warcraft in both classic and retail, and going to give you a rundown of basically what is to come in the coming, I would have thought, year. They haven't given any dates, spoiler alert there. But yeah, let's get straight into it. So basically, there's two parts to podcast. You have TBC announcement, and you have Shadowlands patch 9.1. So we're going to be going over TBC first, as that is what they covered first, I believe, on all of the channels and stuff. So basically, TBC was announced. We kind of knew that already. We always had the suspicion that it was going to be announced. It's sort of, where will Classic go on from here? The only logical explanation was the Burning Crusade Classic. Now, they're going to do a 5-phase for Burning Crusade Classic, as they did for Classic WoW itself. Instead, it's going to be 5 phases instead of 6. So the 5 phases of TBC are, in phase 1, we'll have the start of the Arena Season 1, the original 8 dungeons, along with Karazhan, Gruul's Lair, Magtheridon's Lair raids. These are very standard. They were all sort of introduced at the very start. There is one that also was available from the start of TBC, but we'll get to that in a moment. Phase 2, we'll move into Serpent Shrine Cavern and Tempest Keep. So 2 new raids are opened up to the player base. Tempest Keep being the raid where it has Kel'Thas and the Ashes of Alar. Serpent Shrine Cavern is the one where you kill Lady Vash at the end, and both are very good raids in their own right. Now, phase 3 is the start of Arena Season 2, and along with that comes for the Battle of Mount Hyjal, which is the raid that was available from the start, but because of the amount of content that's already in phase 1, they would want to push it back. Plus, it was it's basically matches the time with everything else as well, with the arena seasons, and you've got a multiple raids to go through already with Karazhan, Gruul's Lair, and Magtheridon's Lair, so they don't necessarily want to throw everything into phase 1, and then by the time phase 3 rolls about, you're kind of done. It's kind of not what you want. So you've got Battle for Mount Hyjal, and Black Temple also comes out in phase 3, Black Temple being the iconic raid where Illidan Stormrage is the final boss, and you take him down, try and get them Warglaives of Azanoth that he's holding. Yeah, basically, nobody could get to Mount Hyjal anyway from the content that's released in Phase 1. No one could have gotten to Mount Hyjal because of prerequisite quests, I believe. That is why they've also put this in Phase 3. Phase 4 will begin Arena Season 3. So straight after phase 3 and this second season, you go straight into the third season with phase 4, and also the release of Zolomann, which is the other raid. Nothing too special there, really. Nice and simple. Everything's thrown out. All the raids are pretty much there and done, and the arena seasons are coming to a close. Phase 5, the final phase, you get Island of Quel'Danas, you get Magister's Terrace Dungeon, and the Sunwell Raid, the final raid of TBC, where you fight the big bad boy called Kil'jaeden, and you've got the special boss called Muru, who is a Void Naru. That's a fun fight, by the way. Just want to let you all know. That's a fun fight that you all want to check out at some point in TBC Classic. And with that, you get the final season of Arena Season 4 to sink your teeth into. So nothing too special, a nice phase schedule at the moment. They said that they'll be looking to move the arena seasons about, possibly. There might be a little bit of chopping and changing here and there. They're not quite set on this path or this phase schedule yet, but for the most part, this is the what it will be. The arena seasons are the only things that will move, if anything does. So a few questions that were asked on the Q&A about it was, will they open sort of fresh Classic servers? So for those who want to remain in Classic and not progress onto TBC. So they're not planning on releasing any more servers at the start of the TBC launch, but they'll look at numbers and see about if they need. There, nice and easy. Will layering be thrown into TBC launch? Now they said that it will be implemented at the start of TBC if it is needed on the servers. So obviously they want just people to get into the servers and actually be able to play. So, and if there are long queues, this is when they will implement the layering on certain servers. If you guys don't know, layering is where you're basically phased out of your realm for a bit and put into another sort of corner. Like, you're in the same place and everything. You're just put into a corner, like, in your own sort of bubble, whilst you've got about 20 people in this big bubble, and it's so cluttered, and you take about half of them and put them in the other bubble, and it makes it a lot more smoother. It's that kind of thing. That's the best way to sort of explain it, if that makes sense. And then as the queue times and the hype for TBC Classic dies down a bit, there's not like millions of people logging in, then they'll start slowly taking the layering away, like they did with Classic launch and stuff. So in terms of layering, they wouldn't want to implement it, but the chance of them having to is quite high because there is a lot of hype around TBC Classic. So what happens when you move your character from Classic to TBC? They were also asked. So with the servers, when patch day comes out, they basically take a snapshot of your character. And when you next log on, you choose the character and it will give you, or you pick the character, and each character will have their own individual choice, which is to progress into the Burning Crusade Classic or stay in Classic. If you choose to carry on into the Burning Crusade, then nothing new changes pretty much. You just carry on. You just basically have updated the patch and you just log in, walk through the Dark Portal, and you're in Hellfire Peninsula. But if you choose to stay in Classic, your character will look as though it is inactive, and all you have to do is something like you have to download a Classic client to basically support that your character is staying in Classic and not moving on to TBC. It's sort of like a block almost on the TBC patch. It's like, no, this is where your character is ending. Stop. You can't go any further. So you keep your name, obviously. You always keep your name. Hold up, I've lost my train of thought, sorry. And yeah, you basically download the Classic. You obviously keep your name, and everything else will be going forward. So there's something that you can do, which you can clone your character. Now, the cloning is a paid service, okay? So the paid service, no idea how much it will be, but you basically pay for it. You get a copy of your character, gold, bank, gear, bags, like what's in your bags, absolutely everything down to the minute detail, and they just copy and paste it. Literally, they control V, control C, and it's kind of that way. So you can keep one in Classic and you can keep one in TBC if you want to progress your Classic one, etc. You can do, but at the moment, you're going to keep the character's name if you do clone. But that's from what we know so far. They might look into it, depending on how popular the server is, etc. And they might not allow you to reserve the name. They might get you to change the name after you've cloned it. But again, they would like for you to have that character name in TBC and the classic realm that you've obviously cloned it from. So class tuning within TBC Classic. They do not want any class tuning, pretty much. They want to keep it as authentic as possible, but there are very small exceptions. So in actual TBC, Paladins were both for the Horde and Alliance with the introduction of Blood Elves, and Shamans were both for Horde and Alliance with the introduction of Draenei. Now, Horde Blood Elves got something called Seal of Blood, and Alliance Blood Elves got something called Seal of Vengeance. This is what defined the two Paladin classes and defined being whether you're Horde or Alliance. Now, one of these seals was a lot more... was just better, marginally better than the other. And this was the Horde side one called Seal of Blood. And every Alliance player was kind of envious of it. But what they're doing is... because they don't want to see loads of Alliance Paladins flocking over to the Horde side because they just have one better seal, they have basically made the decision to give both of the seals to both Paladins. So Seal of Blood will be on the Alliance side when you hit max level, and Seal of Vengeance will be given to the Horde at max level. That's just a very small exception that they're changing. There can be a few more of these, but from what we know, they're not going to do anything drastic with it. They have also mentioned about the possibility of respawns, like mob respawns, material respawns, like herbs and stuff, that they did within Classic with the Black Lotus and everything. They just upped the rate of the Black Lotus spawn and reduced its like cooldown time from when it spawns. So they can like sort of tamper with that a little bit, but they don't want to go overboard and just completely make it a different experience to what it was back in 2007, I believe. Yeah. Now, with TBC, you're also going to get some quality of life changes, which came with the Burning Crusade. So we're going into the last patch of TBC, which is 2.4. And what 2.4 had, like, with along with all of the previous patches, was mounts will be mounts will be available from level 30 instead of 40 now. They will also cost 100 gold, as always. I think epic mounts cost 100 gold, actually. So keep an eye out for that. Not spending as much gold on your little, you know... Oh, my God, your mount. I couldn't speak there. I just lost my words completely. And there was a substantial XP nerf towards the later levels, such as in Classic and TBC. So around level 40, you start to, you know, feel it drag a bit. You might hit a brick wall. You might, like, certainly when you get to the level 50 stages, you're thinking, oh my God, this has taken a while to, you know, level up. But they nerfed it quite a bit by, I would have thought, about 30%-ish. So it's quite a substantial amount of XP if you build it up over the amount of levels that I believe that it gets nerfed from. And I'm thinking about level 40 to 70, sort of the levels get nerfed. So you can obviously level a bit quicker if you've got a few characters around the level 40 mark and above. But that's kind of it for TBC. We know some things, we know bits and bobs, but we just don't know a release date for it yet, unfortunately. The only thing that they did confirm is that it will be in 2021, which is really good. I was going to sort of expect around a June sort of release, but it might be later than that, maybe like September, I'm even thinking now, because I would have thought 9.1, which we'll get into in a second, will be sort of a month or two months away. So we get to sink our teeth into that, and then the next big thing will be TBC, and that gives them time to, you know, make 9.2 and all the raids there, all of the content there, etc. So excuse me, my throat's going a bit. I'll try and press on, but yeah, if it gets a bit croaky, just kind of ignore it, you know. So Shadowlands, moving on to Shadowlands patch 9.1. now, we got the name, it was kind of leaked. No, it was kind of leaked the day before, and it isn't a leak as in a leak like someone's obviously bought it and just posted it somewhere randomly. This was on the official Blizzard page, where they put up the name of the patch. So someone's made a bit of a balls up. And yeah, a load of people knew pretty much beforehand. But patch 9.1 is called the Chains of Domination. And what this basically has in it is loads of different things, and we'll be covering them all. So firstly, with a new patch always comes a new PvP season, Season 2. And this is the end of Season 1. You know, 2 comes after 1. But what you get with the new season is new gladiator mounts, new vicious mounts as well. You know, the spider that you could get in Season 1, the PvP spider, where you have to fill up a bar to 100% above a certain rating within your arenas. A new mount will be obtainable for that. It is a Gorm. It is an armored Gorm, which is really cool. A Gorm being a giant sort of bug-like thing. Think of it like a giant worm, almost. Like a fat, wide, giant worm. That's kind of the way to describe it. And new Keystone Master mounts, obviously, as it's the new season of the Mythic Plus season, which will come with a new affix instead of Prideful. We do not know what that affix is, but I'm kind of sad to see Prideful leave. I quite liked it. It's a nice damage boost. I'm a DPS, so I'm always going to love a nice damage boost, 30%. Sign me up for that. And yeah, basically Season 2, new season of everything. You've got to start from the ground up, guys. So with 9.1 also comes a new zone. And this zone is called Korthia. And what this is, it is a zone that has been dragged into the moor by the jailer himself. He's basically flung out chains into the Shadowlands, these massive chains, and just brought this massive land mass.
Let's take a quick break.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favourite podcast platforms now.
Now, what he's doing with it, no one knows what he's doing with it. We presume that it will be for a key. We don't really know, to be honest. We weren't given much information about it. But there are special rewards within Korthia. And these include a spectral steed that we know of, which kind of looks like Arthas's mount. You know, invincible, but just a bit slimmer, armoured up and stuff. And you have a severed hand mount. A severed hand, like a massive gauntlet hand almost, that you just sit on top of, like you sit on top of the wrist almost, which I want. Obviously I want. It's a severed hand as a mount. It's really cool. But all of these can be obtained within Korthia, and it looks like a fun zone, to be honest. It looks like a fun zone. You can get many sort of mounts and cosmetics there. The loads of like new NPCs to fight. I'm pretty sure there's loads of secrets on it as well, like a secret mount, I'm sure. But it's also quite lore-based, I think, because there's been words to confirm that there are like dreadlords on this floating piece of land that the jailer's bringing into the moor. And the jailer, or not the jailer, we know the jailer's bad news, but dreadlords are a no-go. They're very bad. You don't want to mess with them. You just want to sort of send them away, kill them off, you know, shoo. They're just in it for their own goals, pretty much. Now, with 9.1, it also comes some cosmetic Covenant armor sets. Now, these armor sets, there are 5 in total, but these armor sets will be usable by all armor types, and they are only Covenant-specific. So you get the Venthyr armor. Everyone from a warrior to a priest can wear this armor if they are Venthyr. If you're Night Fae, you can't. It's that simple. And each covenant has its own covenant set, plus an extra one that we don't quite know where to get, but I'm guessing it's something to do with that little landmass that's being dragged into the moor. But, you know, that's, you didn't hear that from me. With 9.1, flying is also introduced. Now, flying in the past has always been either 6.2 patch, a 7.2 patch, 8.2 patch, and I would have thought it was a 9.2 patch as well. But with flying, they're not doing the normal two-part achievement. They're just doing one achievement, and it's locked behind your renown. So your renown that you've been building up since the start of Shadowlands, it's basically to say how well you've been with the Covenant, how sort of buddy-buddy you've been getting with them. And once you hit a certain renown, I'm sure they'll just unlock it and give you the achievement. And obviously this achievement is account-wide, so once you've got it on your main, you'll have it for all of your alts to make it really alt-friendly and stuff. But along with this come Covenant-specific mounts. Now, these are great. So you've got the Night Fae one is like this. I want to say it's like a serpent dragon, kind of like a Chinese New Year like dragon, if you think about it that way, mixed with like a sort of, I don't know, wolf fox thing. Looks cool. I want it. Yeah, just give me it now. You've got Venthyr have some sort of like two-handed gargoyle. That's kind of it. Maldraxxus have a bee. Or something, you know, just like a giant bee mount. And the Kyrian, I'm not actually too sure what they got. I believe it's... Honestly, I can't remember. I believe it's something like a Lavalarian, but... Hey, I saw that Night Fae mount, and I was just hooked on it already. That's the only one I can, like, think about at the moment. So, no one knows how you quite get these. I would have thought you get them with your flying, like... with the achievement when you unlock it. It's that, or you have to buy them with anima. And anima is probably the one that sounds the more realistic. But, I mean, only time will tell. We'll get a lot more information. I'm sure Wowhead, who data mine this sort of stuff, will find out, like, before the patch is released, and you can go over and check them out. Now, with 9.1, or just, we'll take a step back, actually. Before 9.1, and before Shadowlands even, there was a survey. And this survey said, what mount would you like to see in the game? And there were five different options. There was sort of a grub mount. There was many different things, all wacky stuff. And one of the options was a Wandering Ancient mount. And a Wandering Ancient, for those that don't know, if you just heard a squeak, that is my chair. For those that don't know what a Wandering Ancient is, if you've ever been to a Night Elf zone, you'll have these massive tree guardians. And it's basically that. It is a Wandering Ancient. And the Wandering Ancient won the survey, and it's been in the process of being made ever since. This was like several months ago, by the way. And... they showed it off at BlizzCon. They showed the internal works of drawing it. They made the sounds, how they basically put everything together into this mount. And when they do the pre-patch for 9.1, which is 9.0.5, then everyone in WoW who has the subscription will get this Wandering Ancient mount for free. This is an amazing mount. It changes its color based on the season. And which I just find amazing, by the way. Four different colours. Oh, it's absolutely exquisite. A giant tree mount. Sign me up. You almost feel like, you know, if you've ever watched Lord of the Rings, you've got Merry and Pippin who sit on top of Treebeard when they sort of attack like Isengard. It's sort of that. You're just sitting on top of a tree, running people down, running people over. It's going to be fun. It's a very cool mount. And World of Warcraft have actually posted videos of everything they did at BlizzCon. And they posted making the Wandering Ancient mount as a video. It's something that you got to watch. because just seeing them draw it, the animations for it, everything that goes into just making a mount is absolutely amazing. And just to see the behind the scenes of it is great. Now with 9.1 as well, and you taking the fight to the jailer in the raid, which we'll come to in a second. Once you've completed this raid, now we believe this to be true. No one knows for sure yet, but they said that all mounts will work in the moor. Now the moor is a very hostile place where you haven't been able to mount in the past, but while taking the fight to the jailer in the Sanctum of Domination raid and clearing that, it will allow the mounts to hear your call again, and you'll be able to summon them within the moor, because you've almost, you know, pushed back the jailer's influence. You're gaining ground on the jailer, so, you know, you become more powerful in his own domain, if that makes sense. Now, I'm quite against this, because I farmed the Twisting Corridors for that, like, Corridor Creeper mount for many hours so that I could have a mount in the moor. It wasn't actually even for me. I'm a druid. I can just run through the moor, like, on a whim. It was mainly for, like, my sister, who's a priest and is slow as hell. Like, I don't even use a mount in the moor. I just press R, which is my, my travel form, and I'm off. I don't care about a mount. But it's kind of annoying, because I was always going to think very tough for anyone to do anything, but they're just sort of going, yeah, you've, you know, pushed him back a bit, enjoy some mounts, you know, well done, you've earned it. I can kind of understand, because I would have thought there's a lot of people not happy with not being able to mount in the moor and having to do this Twisting Corridors stuff for hours and hours. But at the same time, I'm very salty, because I've done the Twisting Corridors for hours and hours. And yeah, it's kind of just like, yeah, you didn't actually have to do that. We were just joking, you know, enjoy your mounts. So kind of annoying, but I do understand why they are bringing it in. So you heard me say its name, but I'll say it again. It is the Sanctum of Domination raid. And this raid is ending with a fight with Sylvanas Windrunner. Now, Sylvanas has been a major lore character ever since before World of Warcraft. She's had massive lore, massive story put into her. And this is sort of the end of that storyline. This is either where it turns around and does a 180, or it ends outright. Now, they've been doing, like, this Sylvanas story since Warcraft 3, which is amazing, by the way. That's about 2001, 2003, maybe. Like, it's insane. They've put about 18, 20 maybe plus years on this one character in terms of their backstory, their lore, what they've done throughout every expansion. They've done absolutely everything with this character. And this is where it's led us to. This fight, this raid within the 9.1 raid. Now, there are other bosses that were hinted at within the raid. We know that the Terror Gru is a boss within the raid. And the Terror Gru is the one that pursues you in Torghast if you fail too many times. And with killing him in 9.1, you aren't hunted by him within Torghast. They're taking away the death penalty in Torghast, and they're going to replace it with something else. We don't know what that something is, but it'll be good fun to see what it is. And with the Sanctum of Domination, there was also a very big hint that anyone who is interested in Odin's lore within Warcraft, that there will be something to do with Odin's Eye. Now, my guess is that Odin's Eye is a boss, and it is the Eye of the Jailer that you get within the Moor Zone. That is the eye that, you know, sees that you're doing stuff in there, and basically says to the jailer, yo, get them out of the moor, they've done too much, yeah, kill them off. So it's a very lore-heavy raid, to be honest, with Sylvanas in there. Odin's Eye is also something I'm very curious to see, because we've had little hints of it with Muzala in the other side dungeon, etc. So it'll be good to see. And of course, it wouldn't be a patch without a mega dungeon. So we've got an 8-boss broker mega dungeon, by the way. The brokers are the ones with like no face. They sort of have a flame for a head almost. They have this like, you know, wacky mask in front and then just a flame behind it. So the mega dungeon is a broker dungeon and it is set in a broker market. And it has a heist at the end of the dungeon where you're chasing someone, something for an artifact of Azeroth. Now, mega dungeon, 8 bosses, set in a market, seems kind of like a Prince of Persia thing to me. Seems like that kind of gimmick. That's what they kind of want to base it off of, like a little marketplace, you know, that's where they go and trade, that's where they find exotic goods and stuff. Very cool that they've got the little heist at the end of it as well. Makes it very enjoyable, makes it fast-paced, possibly. That's what I'm kind of looking for. So, could it be very fun to get into. And finally, we had a cinematic with the Chains of Domination patch, which references like Anduin, Arthas references, it has Uther in it, it's got many things, but I want to make it like an own podcast on that. That is why I'm not going to go into great detail with it here, because it deserves its own podcast, that cinematic. It was absolutely amazing. And I'd recommend watching it if you haven't already. And one final thing about the patch, or just WoW in general, there is a charity that is being brought up within it. It's called Doctors Without Borders. And with this charity, you get a couple of battle pets. Now, these battle pets are named Bananas and Daisy the Sloth. So Bananas is given free to every player within World of Warcraft if they reach their first goal for the charity. And Daisy the Sloth is given to every player if they reach the stretch goal, is what they call it, to all the players. And Bananas is originally a TBC trading card DLC, which you could only get back in like 2007-ish. And Daisy the Sloth is a completely new battle pet. And this sloth hangs on the back of you. Literally, it's a backpack, pretty much. So, very cool battle pets to have behind this good like charity event that Blizzard are putting on. But that's kind of everything wrapped in a nutshell with BlizzCon. You had loads of TBC info to go off of. And Shadowlands like 9.1 looks amazing. So many things to get hyped about. The cinematic, again, I wouldn't do it justice here just by talking about it like so briefly. So I'm going to be going over it in its own sort of podcast. Possibly a might look to do that as a Patreon podcast in the near future. So if you do want to hear about it, definitely check out the Patreon and, you know, hop on, see what you like. Maybe you know, just help out the channel that little bit more. It's all appreciated as always. But the Patreon does have loads more podcasts on it for Patreon members only, so please do check it out. Now, thank you again all for listening. Please go check out the Pick and Whistle social medias, Twitter and Facebook. All of this can be found as you just heard, my voice is going a bit. So all of these social medias can be found at the Pig and Whistle website, which is www.pigandwhistletales.com. Thank you all very much for listening as always. Go with that, Valor friend. Goodbye all.